So we're going to talk this morning about the widow's mite. And then the mite of the church. We recognize that the church, the mite that it talks about there, is not a dollar and cents mite. Rather, it's the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation, according to Romans 1 and verse 16. And Paul says, I'm not ashamed of that gospel. I certainly hope this morning that we're not ashamed of that gospel. But at the same time, we recognize that it takes dollars and a lot of dollars to send the gospel to every creature. And that's what the Lord told the apostles to do, wasn't it? And he passed that responsibility along to us to preach the gospel to every creature. I'm glad to say that last year through World Radio and World Bible School, the gospel was preached to every nation under heaven. But it took a lot of dedication on the part of Christians like you and I to take that word into all the world. And from week to week, as I open the mail that comes to me, I am amazed sometimes about all the good works that are planned by my brethren to fulfill the Great Commission. There's virtually no end to the pleas that come across our desk asking aid for this or that program designed to minister both to the spiritual bread of life as well as the physical bread of life to people that are starving for food and for the spiritual food that we deliver through the Word of God. What marvelous things the church could do if only its resources were unlimited. But just how limited are the church's resources? That's the thing that we need to ask ourselves. And the thing that we're going to explore in this lesson this morning. Too long, we have been burdened with the widow's mite and the giving syndrome that goes along with the widow's mite. By that I mean, and I've heard this from the lips of my brethren, a member of the church will make a contribution that is so outrageously small in comparison with what God has blessed them with. And then they'll kind of give a weak grin and say, I'm giving the widow's mite. As we look at the widow's mite, we find that she gave two mites. The mite was worth about 1/8 of a cent. Most of the people that give or contribute to the cause of Christ today give more than that. But let's look and see in Mark 12, verse 41 through 44, exactly what Jesus praised in the contribution that the widow made. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow. And she threw in 2 mites, which meant a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all of her living. Even though many today may give more than 1/8 of a cent, or twice 1/8 of a percent, how many of us actually give all of our living? That's the point that Jesus is making here. And this contribution and the point that made this contribution acceptable in the sight of God. The cry is often heard. The New Testament doesn't tell how much we're supposed to give. And you know, I'd be the first one to admit that it hasn't set down a certain percentage that we're supposed to give. But the New Testament does say in 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 12, For if there be first a willing mind, it's accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. God is aware of the blessings that he bestows upon us. He's aware of what we give and as to whether we give it in a grudging manner or in a cheerful manner, because we want to give as it pleases God. People make out that the Old Testament said that they were to give 10%. And that's true, that they were to give 10% to carry on maintaining and the work of the temple and those that administered the things of the temple. But as I study the giving of the people under that testament, I find that that 10% was just the beginning of their giving. We find that they gave free will offerings unto the Lord. They give for the relief of those that were poor during that time. And those that have studied this believe that they give at least 45% of that that the Lord blessed them with. Let's look at what Malachi says in regard to the giving of those that belong to God. We find that God made a promise to those that brought all of the tithes into the house of the Lord. He said that if they brought all the tithes into the house of the Lord, now listen to this, that I will open the windows of heaven and pour blessings that thou would not have room enough to receive them. That's a promise of God. A promise to bless the people that give in a way that pleases God. So that's what we're really talking about this morning. A gift to God that's acceptable unto Him. If language means anything, this surely teaches that those who are not faithful, are not scriptural, in their giving need not expect the blessings of God. Did you ever notice that there's little praise, if any, given by the Lord to those who give out of their abundance? He was not praising those in our lesson text that cast in out of their abundance. He said of those individuals that this poor widow has given more than they all, because she gave all that she had. The praise then is given to those who gave all that they had. Let's take, for instance, the Church of Macedonia. We find that a collection was being taken to relieve the poor saints in Jerusalem. And we find Paul saying in regard to this church in 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 3, "For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves." They gave far more than the apostles expected them to give, because they were relatively poor people. But they recognized that there was power in their giving, and they were willing of themselves to give liberally unto the cause of Christ. Did Jesus not specify repeatedly and warn of the difficulty of the rich entering into the kingdom of heaven in Luke 18 and verse 24? He talked about it being very hard for those that are rich to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Brother Nelson Smith, who's preached over much of the country, relates the fact that he's been in contact with people, men of wealth who gave 90% of their income to the church and to benevolent causes and other forms of tax-free giving. But he said they lived far better on the remaining 10% than the average person. Well, what about them? Well, I don't really know. The Lord will do the judging. But I think they fall in the midst of that group that gave out of their abundance. What did Jesus say about that? As he called these disciples together, he said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow has given more than they all." Now why? Because they gave out of their abundance. And she gave all that she had. He told of having lunch with a man of wealth who was a member of the church where he was holding a meeting. And he said, "Shortly before my going there to hold this meeting, this man sold a parcel of land for $10 million. And he was wealthy before doing that. He invited Brother Smith to see his ranch, his land, and his possessions. And so he drove him around over the ranch in a Cadillac car. He observed there, as he looked at these things, three batches of deer that came from foreign lands, or herds of deer that came from foreign lands. And the brother said to him, "I've got a large boat that I maintain, and I live on it most of the time in the summer and do these things. I know it's not what you do with the millions, but it's what you're going to do at the present time with that dollar and a half you've got in your pocket." Do you think? Kenneth W. Porter wrote this few lines of the verses. He said, "The vestments in your church, they say, are rich with dyes and stiff with gold, and yet thousands of miners' kids hide in their shanties from the cold. The chalice, the gift of loving pride, the gems blaze as you lift it up. And yet there's 1,000 babies, solemn-eyed, clicking spoons within their empty cups." So might I slang the sneering stone, but God will judge both me and you. You sin not, nor judge alone. I had two coats, and after I saw those that were in need of coats, He said, I still have two. Luke 3:11 emphasizes the very points that's in that scripture. Today, we live in an affluent country. We kind of had a little backlash a few years ago. Wages are not as good now as they was, and we have quite a bit of unemployment. But if those in the church today actually gave the widow's mite, the church could be a mighty force in preaching the gospel to those that are lost. You know, when they were going to build the temple, in Exodus 35, verses 20 through 35, we find that they were abundant in the gifts that they gave. Now, they gave what they had, whether it was skins or goat's hair or cloth or whatever, they gave what they had. And those women, at that time, if they were handy with needlework, they used that to help to decorate the temple and to relieve those that were poor and in need. And you know what the scripture says about those people? They had to stop them from giving, because they dedicated themselves and what they had to accomplishing that task. They did all of this to do what the Lord would have them do. I don't want us to be afraid this morning to give, because according to Malachi 3 and verse 10, if we give in a way that pleases the Lord, He says, I'll open the windows of heaven and pour out upon you a blessing that you'll not be able to contain. Do you believe Him? Have you tried Him? Have you thought about the blessings that we have as we give a gift that's pleasing unto the Lord? You know, Malachi 3 and verse 10 is repeated in Luke 6 and verse 38. Hear what he says. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with what measure you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Yet, for all that he said, most of us refuse to be convinced that we cannot outgive the Lord. And so I give you these scriptures, beginning with 3 John 5 through 7, to encourage us to give a gift that is pleasing unto the Lord. Beloved, thou dost faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren, and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Because that for his name's sake, they went forth taking nothing of the Gentiles. They preached the gospel unto the Gentiles. John's making a point now, since they shared in the spiritual things of the Gentiles, that they ought to help them with their carnal things, or with the wages that they had. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 2. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come. Acts 11 and verse 23. Who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad, and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. People of the church were admonished to cleave unto the Lord, and by doing that, to propose to do the work of the church and the things that the Lord has set forth. In 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 and 7, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 12. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to what a man hath, and not according to what he hath not. Romans 15, verses 16, or verses 26 and 27. For it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. It hath pleased them dearly, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of the spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. Luke 6 and verse 38. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Look at the encouragement that the Lord's giving us so that we'll make an acceptable gift unto Him. And then a verse I want you to think about as you go away from this place, Hebrews 8 and verse 6. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. You think the Lord would be pleased with us, even to give like they gave under the Old Testament period of time? When he says that we have a better ministry, a better covenant, established upon better promises. And one of those promises that we have is the fact that if we open our hearts and give unto the Lord or bring all of the tithes into the treasury of the Lord, He'll open the windows of heaven and pour out upon us a blessing that we won't have room for. I don't want you to go away from this place and say today, well, all they do over there at the church is preach on giving. I've been preaching to you today about the blessings of God and what you'll get if you give a pleasing contribution unto the Lord. God bless all of us to see the blessings that the Lord has promised unto us and lay hold upon those blessings.